welcome to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. This is the final episode of As the Story Grows for 2022. We went to 2 episodes a week in June and carried that through Thanksgiving when we went back to 1 for the holidays, which means there were 74 new episodes of As the Story Grows in 2022, the most I've ever done. And so instead of just running an interview next week, I'm taking a break between Christmas and New Year's. And we're doing a best of 2022 episode this year, the first one since my first year as host. Before we dive into this week's episode and look back at the year that was, I want to give some shoutouts to people who helped make 2022 such an incredible year. When I look back at some of the guests we had this year, Will Putney, Stephen Dale, Jonah Matranga, Jason Moody, Nathan Gray, Mike Ranica, Justin Foley, Tucker Rule, and that just scratches the surface of incredible guests and conversations I got to share this year, and it couldn't have happened without Tim, Shane, Rachel, and Amy from Adam Splitter PR, May from Bitch Management, Jeff Cloud, Casey from Iodine Records, John from Freeman Promotions, Monica from Speakeasy PR, Maria from Adrenaline PR, Becky from Big Picture Media, Shannon from Face Down Records, Bob Bradley, Mike Mule, Stephanie Marlowe, Hope from 25-8 PR, and Kevin from Part-Time PR. I also want to shout out friends of the podcast, Seth Werkheiser, Ben Pike, and Daniel Terry for their words of encouragement throughout the year. All right, let's talk about some good stuff. We didn't talk about comics in the main show today, and I wanted to highlight some of my favorite comic book runs of 2022. If we're talking comics in 2022, we're talking about mutants. The X-Men adjacent titles this year have been absolutely incredible. 10 Lives and 10 Deaths of Wolverine, Immortal X-Men, X-Men Red, and Legion of X have all been highlights and can't-miss comic runs from this year. The first 5 issues of Immortal X-Men are now available in trade paperback, and I highly recommend checking that out. I also recommend giving Devil's Reign a read. Wilson Fisk is mayor of New York City and has outlawed superheroes. This was an excellent run with incredible tie-ins, and it kicked off a bunch of other series that have been great. Chip Zdarsky wrote Devil's Reign and is currently writing Daredevil, and that run is also worth reading. Chip's done incredible work this year. Rainbow Rowell's She-Hulk run has been lighthearted and a lot of fun. She-Hulk has become a character I love a lot, and the current run has been great. A run that surprised me was Gail Simone's The Variants, about the variant versions of Jessica Jones. I didn't expect to love this series as much as I did, but it was an absolute delight to read. And then the last Marvel comic I want to highlight is Cody Ziegler's Spider-Punk. Because you listen to this podcast, you love music, and Spider-Punk is a perfect comic for those of us with a taste for punk and hardcore. On the DC Comics side, I just want to mention Sean Murphy's Batman the White Knight, which is the best Batman run I've read in probably 15 years, and its sequel, Batman Beyond the White Knight. And then for comics that's not from the big two, I've been sucked into the weirdness that is What's the Furthest Place from Here, a post-apocalyptic book about kids in a lawless society. The last 2 issues of the run have been prequels to the main story, but I've loved the insight into how we got to what's been happening in the run so far. Weird, but worth a read. I will link my Goodreads list for 2022 in the show notes. This week, we welcome Sean Mott, the host of Metalcore Nerds, to the podcast. I asked Sean to join me to chat about all the movies, TVs, and music we enjoyed in 2022. Sean talks about growing up in upstate New York, his life as a touring guitarist, and wanting to create a different kind of podcast with Metalcore Nerds. And then Sean and I talk about our favorite movies, TV, and music from the year. If you like the MCU, Star Wars, video games, pop culture in general, then make sure you find Metalcore Nerds wherever you get your podcast. Enjoy this week's chat with Sean Mott from Metalcore Nerds, and thank you so much for listening to As the Story Grows this year. When Austin from The Undertaking invited me to the Facebook page, I had no idea it was a podcast. I just thought it was like, oh yeah, people who like heavy music and nerd shit. Like, cool. Like, that works for me. And then I found out it was a podcast and I was like, oh, okay. I dig this. Something totally different and unique. And yeah, it's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. That's what I tried to make it as different as possible. Because obviously there's a million pop culture podcasts and there's a million music interview podcasts. So I tried to take a little bit of a different approach to it than most.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's jump back. Before we talk about things we loved this year, let's talk about you.
Okay.
Sean Mott. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Watertown, New York.
Oh,
very small. Very small town. It's basically in Canada. It's like about a half hour away from Canada. And yeah, just really, really small town in upstate New York. Actually upstate. So when you hear people say upstate, or when you say New York, they're like, oh, you live in the city. And I'm like,
yeah,
no, not even close really at all. And so, yeah, way up there. Then I went to college for graphic design, which is still what I do for a living in Utica. And now I live in Utica. Still upstate New York, just not half north.
Nice.
Basically.
Nice. Nice. What was growing up like?
It's kind of, I don't know. My parents didn't make a lot of money. And, you know, so I guess it's kind of a normal childhood that probably most people are used to.
Yeah.
Really everything changed when I went to some like weird local metal show when I was 16 and was like, cause I listened to heavier bands when I was like 12, 13. I remember my mom buying me this Headbangers Ball compilation that had like 18 Visions, Killswitch, Atreyu, I think on it. And even around the same time, I was super into bands like Take Back Sunday and Fall Out Boy and all that stuff. And I remember buying Taking Back Sunday Where You Want to Be. And it had a Victory Records sampler in it that had like Bayside and Atreyu and Hawthorne Heights on it and stuff like that. So I was listening to like a bunch of those like screamo bands, which half of them are still around and almost bigger than they were then, which is insane. And then that the Headbangers Ball kind of brought me into more like traditional metalcore or metal bands, which was really cool. But going to the show, and I literally don't even remember any of the bands that played. They were all local Watertown bands.
Yeah.
But that, like, seeing that kind of environment, you know, and like people throwing each other around and everything like that, that just like changed how I saw music, I guess.
Yeah.
I started going to people with promoted shows, like, hey, what can I do? Can I like pass out flyers? Like, what I want to be involved in this somehow. I ended up starting playing guitar. And even just, I think it's what got me into design is I don't even know what program I used on my, you know, you probably can relate to this, but everyone now, they have a computer in their hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, we had a family computer in a computer room and that's how you got on the internet. And that was it. So I would be on the family computer making these terrible flyers for this local venue and stuff. And I think I don't think I got paid. I think I just got a show for free, which was fine with me. Saved me. So I was totally cool with it. I started booking shows a little bit and playing in some terrible bands when I was younger. And then I went to college, played in less terrible bands until I graduated college. And then I started playing in some hardcore bands that did some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like the fast version of growing up and then getting into heavier music, I guess.
Yeah. So there was a scene, even though you grew up kind of in the middle of nowhere, there was a scene there to like be a part of.
And there were some cool tours that came through. And even when I started booking, I booked some cool bands kind of before they got big kind of thing. Like I booked like Transit and A Loss for Words and Man Overboard. I even booked Balance of Composure. They opened a show that I booked. And then like a year later, they started popping off super hard, which was hilarious. And I saw 4 Years Strong play like right after Rise or Die Trying came out. They played our like local venue. And that was super sick. Even like Metro Station at the time was super big. They played they sold out the venue, which I think was only like 300 cap. So it's not really in the retrospect of Metro Station's career. I'm sure it's not a big accomplishment.
Not a highlight. Yeah.
But seeing a sold out show in this like small town was really cool. So there was some cool stuff like that, but nothing like massive. There was a fairgrounds there that I know like ZZ Top played there this last summer and stuff like that. So look at like weird things like that, but that's very few and far between. Cause you know, it has to be like a D market or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It has to be so low on the totem pole and everything like that. But yeah, there was still some cool stuff that came through. Better than nothing. Now it's the scene there, I think, is like absolutely abysmal. I saw it like rise, fall, rise again, and then just it's dead.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, the era I grew up in, really going to shows through high school, was like all VFW halls and church basements.
Right.
And then by the time I hit my early 20s, everything moved to the clubs and bars. And you're like, okay, this is cool that the scene is bigger now and all these bands are like big, but like, I liked it when it was $5 with canned food at the VFW hall for like four, you know, 40 people.
Yeah. That's like when I was playing, a lot of it was like VFW halls.
And yeah.
And then the occasional fest or the occasional club show and stuff like that. But there is something about that that's so special and different. Yeah. It's always nice when you kind of see them pop up randomly.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, a VFW show. Because I remember in Binghamton, New York, like years ago, it was the Heritage Murders' first United States show. They played in Binghamton, New York. That was their first U.S. show. And I think it was The Last 10 Seconds of Life did a video shoot. And that was like the big draw.
Oh, wow.
Was them playing this. Because they're from PA, but Binghamton's basically Pennsylvania. So they play there a lot, because where they're from in PA is like nowhere.
Yeah.
So playing in PA makes zero sense because it's nowhere.
Yeah.
So Binghamton usually made a little more sense than Pennsylvania. And I remember that, but then that was in a VFW. Like, the Heritage Murders' first U.S. show was in a VFW.
It's nice. That's rad. What hardcore bands were you in?
I was in this band called Atlas, which there's like 10 of them.
Okay.
So it'd be hard to discern those, I guess.
Yeah.
I think I took everything off Spotify because I just didn't want to pay for it anymore. But it's all on Bandcamp. It's like Atlas HC on Bandcamp. If you want to listen to that, it's pretty cool stuff. It's kind of weird. Stop going to pay and hit your feet up for myself. Staring out into the blackness. I feel nothing but reeling. I insist to find defeat. And hit your feet, I find myself in the blackness. I feel nothing but defeat. But then I played this band called Ghost Sex Ship from Syracuse. We were on Seventh Dagger for a while, and then when we ended as a band, we were on Inner Strength Records, and we did some cool stuff. Played a bunch of fests, like New England Metal Hardcore Fest. Played this fest in Florida with Newfound Glory, and pretty much like every band ever played that fest. It was like every big tour that was happening that year just happened to all meet up in Florida. It was like that, like Counterparts and Defeater tour played, which I think like Capsize was on or something.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that the Ghosts Inside, Acacia Strain, Gideon tour played.
Oh wow!
I think a few more too. It was a wild day. And then we played this fest, I Matter, a few times.
Yeah,
it's this free fest in Elmira, New York. That's really really cool. Used to be outdoors. It's now the people who run it own a venue now in Elmira. That's been getting like a lot of bigger tours. So they had the last one indoors, but the ones I played were outdoors and they were really sick. But we got to do some cool stuff. Heartfest in Canada. I don't know if it's not a thing anymore, but it was a super cool hardcore fest that they had in Gatineau, which is kind of Ottawa. That was super cool. So we got to do some cool stuff. And it ended up leading me to, I filled in for Lionheart for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Which was cool. And it was because of that band. Cause we would all, every time they would come to Epstein, we would play with them. We played a couple fests with them, like Metal Fest. And then I think it was this fest called Eat Your Heart Out Fest in Poughkeepsie that happened for a few years or a number of years. I think they tried to bring it back and it didn't do that well. So it didn't, they stopped doing it again. That's another market that I've even seen go through ebbs and flows. And that's just from like an outside perspective of going to random shows through the years there. Yeah, so then I became friends with them, and they're like, one day you're going to fill in for us for a tour. And I'm like, let me know. And then it was actually the night the last Ghost Ship show. And goes, hey, do you want to come to Europe with us? And I'm like, yeah.
Of course I do.
Yeah. Okay. You know. Yeah, that's like kind of the mainstay of my musical journey, I guess.
Nice. That's rad. What, here's a question you ask people. What got you into like pop culture or like nerd stuff?
So basically when I was a kid, I tried to ask my mom why I had this stuff or why she got it for me. She doesn't really have an answer, which is kind of weird, but I was super into like Power Rangers and Batman when I was a kid. since I can like remember, like I remember I have two pairs of sheets when I was a kid, and one was Power Rangers and one was a Batmobile blueprint was the sheets. And I just remembered always being into that. And even like I had the VHS 3-pack of the Star Wars, the original trilogy and stuff. So it was kind of always there, but I didn't really know why or how. It just was. And even Spider-Man, the animated series too, like X-Men, the animated series, all that stuff. Like I just loved when I was a kid. And I think it carried on even when like the Marvel movies started coming out, and I've always been a Batman guy. So it's like when the Dark Knight came out, I saw that at midnight when it came out, when they used to do midnight showings. And it just, I think when anything just like nerdy would come out, and I've always loved movies, especially when I was in high school, my brother worked in a movie theater. So I used to go see them for free. So I would literally just watch any movie just because small town, not much to do anyway, but free movies are free movies.
Yeah.
I would just go to the movies just to go. And I think it just kept carrying on in my adult life, and I just kept going. And I don't know when I became like manically obsessed with pop culture.
Yeah.
The last like 5-6 years or something. My wife, we were just dating at the time, but I think for my birthday, she bought me my first comic because I never owned comics. Until like, I think like 8 years ago, maybe, or 6 or 7 years ago. And she bought me my first comics. And I think that might've been like the snowball that started and kind of unraveled into a world. I think it might've been because it was just like, anytime I would see a movie, I would try to research anything on that character or the property or whatever, just try and learn more about it. And then she's like, you should just read comics. You know? And then I started doing that too.
Yeah.
Becomes a slippery slope once you get into it, I guess.
It really does. I like stopped for a long time, and then I worked for an audiobook company many years ago, and we did some stuff for DC, and that got me back into the DC stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped, and then when the pandemic hit, I was like, you know, I never read a lot of Marvel. I'm going to get it, and it's been crazy for almost 3 years now. So,
yeah, I started collecting individual comics at first because that's what she bought me. She bought me the first two issues of Doomsday Clock, which was like the first time DC revisited the Watchmen.
Yeah.
Since Watchmen.
Yeah.
And then she got me maybe the first trade of Donnie Cates' Venom Run. And that's what like really got me into comics like 100%. But I've become more of a trade guy.
Yeah.
Than a single issue. It's just too much to keep up with. Not to throw shade at my local comic book store here, but I don't really like going there. It's not like the nicest place.
Yeah.
And usually the selection is just weird, and they're not even like nice there. Not even that they're mean. They just kind of don't pay attention to you, which is strange. So I just don't like going there. So I'd rather, usually when I, my wife commutes and works at this mall in Syracuse. And so I end up going there a lot, and I'll just buy from the, they have like two like locally owned comic book stores in the mall. So I usually go there and buy the trades from there anyway. Yeah. It's easier. It's cheaper. It's easier to read. They look better on a shelf. It's just easier.
Yeah. I went digital. So that helps with.
Digital isn't bad. I don't mind reading digital. It's pretty cool the way it goes when you swipe through and it brings you to the words and the panels, the way it does with that is actually, I've read a few like that, and it's, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, it's worked out so far. Talk to me about Metalcore Nerds. How did this podcast get started?
I think like many podcasts, a product of the pandemic. And so at the time I was a booking agent. So when everything shut down, that was like the first thing to shut down was tours just getting canceled. So I was doing that and designing freelance, and I was like, well, kind of in this weird existential dread of like, what the fuck am I going to do? And my wife, she works retail, so obviously they shut down too. So she didn't work for a number of months until that stuff opened back up, obviously. And she was like, I think I'm going to like just stream on Twitch playing Animal Crossing, because Animal Crossing came out like the week before or something like that the pandemic happened. It was like really weird timing. It was probably like actually like the most ingenious marketing plan of all time or something. It's actually Animal Crossing caused the pandemic or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not serious, but it was just funny how it worked out. It's like, oh, now everyone has something to do. Weird.
So that and Tiger King.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Netflix must have been like, thank God, this is the best time for yeah. And because I think if it released now, it would have got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe not. Maybe it would have popped up, but people would only talk about it for like a few days, and then it would have just flew off. Like no one would have cared. Like exactly what happened with season two. People were talking about it for like a day or two, and then no one ever talked about it again. It's just how shit is nowadays, unless it's super impactful. Like it's especially with Netflix stuff, and they drop it all at once, just there, then it's gone, and then no one talks about it. So I was like, oh, at that point, I've been listening to podcasts for a few years now. And it was kind of before podcasts were super huge. There was just this one website I followed, a wrestling website. And they were called Pro Wrestling Sheet. And then they started a podcast. So I started listening to their podcast. And then I listened to them on the Apple Podcast app. So I just one day I searched Marvel on the Apple Podcast app. And the show called Marvel Movie News popped up. And it's hosted by this dude named Coy Jandro. He's kind of everywhere in the pop culture space. If you're familiar with the pop culture space, he like works for Nerdist. He worked for Collider. He has his own thing now, but he pops up on other channels. Like he's on New Rockstars, which is like literally one of the biggest nerd channels there is. He's on there a lot. They have this new like live show called The Break Room that he guests on a lot. Dude is just everywhere. He's at like every fucking premiere everywhere. He's like a big inspiration for me, I think, for podcasting. And I was like, maybe I'll start a podcast. And she's like, yeah, just why not? Like, what else do you have to do? And then that's kind of, I was like, what could I do? Because I think I always, in the back of my head, I was like, I would love to start a podcast, but I never really had the right idea. I didn't want it to be the same thing that, you know, there already is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, like combine the two things that are two of my biggest like passions or hobbies, like metalcore and nerd stuff, like just combine it into one. And the first few episodes were like just like a bunch of my close friends that just happened to be in bands or involved in the music industry, so that helped too. And I just recorded three episodes, dropped them all at once, and then just kept going. A few times in the pandemic, especially when a lot of like important shit was happening, like all the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd stuff, I stopped doing episodes for a while because I was like, it's not important for me to do this show right now at all. I think there might have been another couple breaks, but for at least like the last year plus, it's been going weekly, every single week. And it's been really cool. It's now turned into kind of what, I don't know if it was my initial goal. I think I just started it and had no expectations whatsoever. I was like, I'm just going to do this and see where it goes. And now it's turned into like a cool thing where bands can promote stuff they have going on, but they're not doing, you know, like the normal things they do. They're talking about stuff they love while still being able to be like, oh yeah, and we have this going on also, which has been super cool. And the feedback I've gotten that from whether it's PR people or people in the bands that are guests has been super cool to hear, of just some weird little idea that I came up with in my house. And now it's like, you know, it's wild.
yeah we've had a bunch of crossover, so I assume we work with some of the same people. And but it's cool to be like, yeah, Lucas from Holding Absence was on both our pods, but they're like completely different, and he just gets to talk about Marvel movies. And so like it's a fun little thing to be like, hey, you can come on and not have to talk about your band for 30 minutes.
Right, exactly. And usually we do for like a few minutes, but it's like, even when I had Lucas on, he's like, this is the most excited I've ever been to do a podcast. And I'm like, okay. Like, cool. Like, I'm just like, I am taken back by stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah And I just saw you had Madison from She-Hulk you interviewed.
Yeah, which is that's my first like actor interview ever, which is sick. It's been super cool to get in with like the PR side of music and stuff like that, which is something I, again, is like another thing I didn't think was happening, but especially kind of getting in with PR people in like the entertainment world has been really insane. I've been lucky enough to see a bunch of shows early. In that case, it was a streaming movie. It's called It's a Wonderful Binge. It's on Hulu right now. Whenever it's out when we're recording this today. So whenever this comes out, it'll
be there.
But yeah. So they, and it was kind of happened with them too, because the way PR stuff works in entertainment, it's different for like every studio, but usually you have to get access to a press site, and then the press site has contacts you hit up for whatever property, and you kind of just hit them up and go, hey, I would really like to cover this in the show. Are any press screeners available? And usually they ignore you entirely, or they email you and you get a link in your email and you're like, oh, sick. This is awesome. And with that one, they were like, hey, would you want to interview anyone from the movie? So I looked through the cast list quick and I saw that she was on it and I was like, oh, that would be sick. So I requested her, and then eventually it happened. And I was kind of nervous too at first.
Yeah.
This is a real look, a peek behind the curtain, because they were like, hey, do you have any interviews, examples of interviews you could do? And I was like, well, I've never interviewed any, like an actor before, but I have interviewed a few people that I was like, it's mostly music based. Like I have music based guests talking about pop culture, but I was like, here are two guests that are involved in the music industry and the entertainment industry. So I sent them that. And then eventually they were like, oh, yeah, let's lock in a date, blah, blah, blah. And then it all worked out. It was awesome. And but even before, so that was like, I was happy that it worked out, because it was a real big shot in the dark, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was super cool. And it's a pretty awesome guest to have for the first one, like first kind of like real actor interview, hoping it leads to more.
Yeah.
The reception has been pretty cool so far. People seem pretty stoked or blown away that it happened, which is cool. I'm still blown away that it happened. And yeah, you can find that. It's just, you can go to Metal Corners on YouTube and check it out. And I'll be splicing it into our newest episode too. So it'll be there in audio form as a part of that episode too. Cause it's only 13 minutes.
Start with Marvel. Phase 4 ended. You claim to be the most positive pop culture podcast in the multiverse.
Yeah.
And people have not been super positive on Phase 4. A lot of talk about the Marvel burnout, however real that might be, your people just never really liked it anyways. What are your thoughts on Phase 4 overall?
Phase 4 overall, first I want to comment on the burnout thing, because the burnout thing is kind of one of the most interesting things to talk about, I think. Because a lot of us live in this like bubble of people like obsessed with pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go on Twitter, I agree with you that Twitter is very indifferent on Phase 4. But it's funny because they just hosted this thing called like the People's Choice Awards, where like normal people vote on things. And you know what one movie of the year? Not Top Gun Maverick, not like Everything Everywhere at Once, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Not even close to my favorite Phase 4 movie.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's stuff like that is like proof that Phase 4 is divisive is kind of not exactly true.
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't care if you don't like things. I mean, there's been things I've liked more. It's just like, there's this weird thing with Marvel where I don't think they've produced anything that's outright bad. Like mm-hmm. I've seen bad movies and none of those to me, I've rewatched almost every Marvel movie. I've even rewatched some of the series. And none, if someone was like, hey, my wife was like, hey, I rewatched like most of Ms. Marvel with her. I rewatched most of She-Hulk with her. Cause usually I just need to watch it immediately to do stuff for the podcast. And so usually I just rewatch it with her later, which is totally fine. I don't, like I said, I do not mind at all. But Phase 4 overall, I think it was like a really strong phase. I think the big problem with it is that it was a lot very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been reports now that they're going to kind of slow things down a little bit. Because I think that's the one thing that I could see anyone saying, and I would agree with them as a criticism. Like, it's a lot to take in. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, oh, quality over quantity. And I was like, I think even the worst thing in Phase 4 is probably better than most of the things in Phase 1 and Phase 2, just to be honest.
Yeah.
And not even to say those things are bad, because they're not. I like them. It's just, it's weird when people are like, they've dipped in quality. I'm like, but have they really? You know? And I feel like if things were spread out more, it wouldn't be this like bombardment of negativity. But like I said, it might be Phase 3 is going to be hard to top.
Right.
It's just like all bangers, basically, for the most part. So that one's like a very high bar, and we're coming right off of that. So again, that's like another hard thing to face because we just got off this big culmination of 10 years and now we're starting over from square one and everyone's like, everyone wants everything to be endgame and it can't be endgame because we have to rebuild to the next endgame. It's not possible.
Yeah.
Or else it just, everything will be the craziest thing ever and then nothing will be crazy anymore. But I've really liked it. I like how it's more character driven than Marvel's ever done, which I really like. Like, story is my biggest thing. If you tell a good story, I'm a sucker for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that in spades in this. Some have fell a little shorter than others, which is fine. But Phase 4 has some of my favorite Marvel stuff, which is saying a lot, because like a lot of stuff they've done is like very high for me, like very high bar for me.
Right, right.
I wonder, how'd you feel about it?
I loved it. I thought it was great. But part of me is like, I remember going to the midnight showing of Green Lantern with my Green Lantern shirt, my Green Lantern ring, and leaving that movie and being like, it wasn't good, but they set up a sequel really well. Just like, hoping they made a sequel, so maybe I have like rose colored glasses on, but like, right. No, I thought it was great. I mean, they had to shift things around and change the schedule, and so like that affects story. We were supposed to get WandaVision right into Doctor Strange, but instead we had to wait and we got Spider-Man first, and so
Yep. All
these things affect everything. But I think my least favorite thing in Phase 4 was probably Moon Knight, which I thought was incredible. So it's like, yeah, it's my least favorite, but it was still great. So like,
I always put it as the things I like better than other things,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the movies probably I enjoyed less than some of the other ones, but, like, yeah, off of Phase 3, like, I'll watch Infinity War every day, right? Like,
seriously.
Yeah. That's a fucking 10 out of 10, right? Like, so, like, but, like, the Black Widow I thought was incredible. Shang-Chi was great. Like,
yeah.
Wakanda Forever just fucking crushed, right? Like,
that movie is something like, I don't know. It's just some comic book movies transcend what a comic book mm-hmm. movie is. And I firmly believe that movie did that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That movie is something really special. And I know a lot of people don't think that. And I don't know if it has to do with like the quote unquote burnout effects that some people are feeling or whatever. Like, I have no idea. But I thought that movie was on like one of Marvel's best. Like, period.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's keep it in the movie realm. What other movies 2022 top your list?
Man, it's been a really good year for movies. I mentioned earlier with Top Gun Maverick is up there for me, which is crazy because I do not really like the first Top Gun. I had COVID a few months ago, so I was like up in this like little corner of my house, and it was like a few weeks before Top Gun Maverick was coming out. And I was like, I'm going to go see this because I try to see as many things as I can at this point, just to try and get like a good scope. Like, I like recommending things, especially things that people might not into or hear a different perspective of just the superhero stuff for me. So I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. Let me rewatch this movie. And I did. And I was like, it's fine. It's not bad by any means. I'm just like, there's just not much to latch onto in that movie. But mm-hmm. Top Gun Maverick is the exact opposite of that. Like, I felt emotionally invested. I was like on the edge of my seat. Like, that movie's just great. One of my absolute favorite movies of the year is Everything Everywhere All at Once. That movie is so incredible. And mm-hmm. I'm so happy to be like watching these like Oscar podcasts, prediction podcasts, and they all have that movie high in a bunch of the major awards lists, which a lot of people doubted and are still doubting. But me hearing people like that who are like experts at this Oscar stuff is having them being like, this movie is going to get nominated at least for a lot of this stuff is really cool, because movie's weird, definitely yeah. weird, but I love some weird stuff. And it did the multiverse real well. It has a lot of awesome nods to a bunch of like really foundational movies for me. And that movie's something ungodly special to me. Some other ones, The Batman was incredible this year. Really love that one. Prey was another one that was really cool. Kind of surprising. That's another one. Like, I rewatched Predator before, and I'm like, this movie's fine. I was like, the most impressive thing about the first Predator is the premise, really.
Yeah.
Coming up with the idea of Predator. That's the best part. But some of it is just so, like the dialogue is very dated and not good. And because I saw some people in Prey coming out, and they were like, people just must be like recency biased. And I'm like, dude, I just watched Predator and a lot of that does not fucking hold up.
No.
I was like, the first, like, I almost was like quit in the first like half of the movie. I was like, this is rough, until it like really, really got into like the Predator taking people out stuff. Yeah. But Prey was really cool. Bullet Train was also like a super fun, just wacky, awesome movie. You can't go wrong with Brad Pitt, and Aaron Taylor Johnson just continues to be one of like my favorite underrated actors. I would call him underrated. It's a shame he's going to be in a Kraven movie, but we'll see how that goes. I just have no faith in the Sony unconnected universe other than Spider-Verse.
It's very bad.
It's not the best. It's not the best.
I mean, Carnage had some things that made me laugh out loud, but it was not a good movie.
I liked the first one way better. And that one was even like, that movie was fine. Yeah. But Carnage made me a little angry, which not a lot of comic book movies do. But that one, I was like, they did my boy dirt. I love Carnage. And I love Venom. And I like Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock. It's just the special effects, at least in that movie, were sick.
But yeah.
You can't kill Cletus Cassidy at the end. What are you doing? I was like, what is this?
It's a waste.
And I was stoked. I was like, Woody Harrelson is Cletus Cassidy? That could be really cool. And then I thought like what the movie was, and I was like, out of all the people I thought would have been kind of lackluster performance wise, Woody Harrelson would have been my last guess. But I don't think it was his fault. I think it was probably writing was the big qualm there, but it is what it is. I'm sure I'll watch the third one in theaters when it comes out anyway. It's not like this is deterring me from the thing. I'm just not. No, Kraven, I don't know if I'll see it in theaters unless I hear people being like, this movie is awesome. And I love Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, Madam Web is the one I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
The things I've heard about it are super intriguing to me. And the cast is really good. But other than that, my wife asked me how much I had logged in my letterbox. And I've seen people with way more, but it's over 100 movies I've watched this year.
Nice.
And I was like, it's not even that much. And she's like, that's a lot of movies. And I'm like, okay.
I used to see more, but you know, children in time and you know.
Yeah. It's hard. It's I got the Regal Unlimited Pass.
Yeah.
But that's only that's in where my wife works. We don't have a Regal here. We have a different theater chain here. But that's like some days I'll just go with her. Like I'll drive her to work and I'll just go watch movies all day. That's my secret. That's my real secret. I'll just go and watch like two or three movies and that's my day and I'm fine with it.
That's my secret, Cap. I'm always watching movies.
I understood the reference.
There you go. Let's talk about TV. I watched a lot more TV. What was on your top list for TV this year? There was so much.
Yeah, dude, TV this year was nuts. It was crazy. I actually just did an episode of my favorite TV shows with Chris Adler and Myron. They're in this new band called Firstborn. That's really cool, really wild band. But so a bunch off there. I'll just rattle some off.
Yeah.
Andor, up there. Incredible show. The Bear, also awesome. Severance, amazing. Succession season 3, incredible. There's probably so much more. I've watched so much TV. I know there is a Letterboxd equivalent to series, but I don't know what it is. I don't remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the one I'd be more worried about and embarrassed because I've watched so much TV.
So much, yeah.
And that's what I've been trying to do is go in and find any ones that people have loved and I've kind of just looked over or missed or didn't get into. Like even Wednesday that just came out was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed that. Hulu had a lot of really good shows. The Bear was one of them. Pam and Tommy was really good. Camille Nanjiani's show that's going on now, but I got to see the whole season early. Welcome to Chippendales is solid, which I know a lot of people might be hesitant because it's about Chippendales, male strippers, but it's a really, really good show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have on your list for top TV?
I mean, Andor was like A-plus television. Star Wars done really well. I mean, I loved Obi-Wan. I thought Obi-Wan was incredible. Big fan of that. Miss Marvel was delightful.
Yeah.
And all that. The Legend of Vox Machina. I don't know if you watched that on
this year too. Holy shit. That was sick.
Yeah, that was this year, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It was this year, and I totally forgot it was this year.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a lot of fun. I saw that trailer randomly on YouTube and I was like, what is this show? And then I discovered Critical Lore and D&D and watched the series, and it was incredible. I mean, what else was this year? Season 3 The Boys.
The Boys,
Peacemaker. Oh yeah.
It was funny because I was just talking about this with someone the other day of how the Suicide Squad ended. You're like, wow. I mean, John Cena did a really good job in that movie. Mm-hmm. You hate him, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, we're getting a series of this guy? That's not going to work. Everyone hates him. But then you watch the series and you're like, holy shit. You can just never bet against James Gunn.
Yeah. Never bet it. Yeah. I mean, I hope that works out for him at DC. I think that's a...
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good thing.
I think so too.
I really do.
Yeah.
And on his way out of Marvel, he's just going to crush all of our souls.
Yeah, he is. Everyone's going to die.
Some everyone. People are going to die. I don't know about everyone.
Not everyone. They could. They could totally kill everyone.
I don't think they will.
No. No. Rings of Power. I mean, Rings of Power I thought was great too. I loved it.
The two big ones I did not see this year yet are Rings of Power and House of Dragon.
Oh.
Which kind of bummed me out. But they're ones that Sam, my wife, wants to watch, and they're also very long.
Yeah.
And you have to pay attention to them. So that makes it even harder. Like, you have to, like, pay attention.
Yeah. You got to have the captions up or you'll miss something in Elvation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everyone has weird-ass names, and there's 20 million characters, and, you know, you really need to focus to what's going on. It's a lot harder to watch than, like, Wednesday or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you obviously need to pay attention, but it's a little simpler in the scope of character and names.
Yeah. Let's talk about music. What music? Do you have like a top five for records this year that really stuck out to you?
I have like a working list.
Okay.
Let me bring up this working list because I'm trying to prepare for like a top 10 episode as well. And I know at the top, number one is the Wonder Years.
Okay.
That band has been such a weird journey, I think, because I started listening to them when they were like super pop punk, kind of like corny band. Like, they had a song with like Kool-Aid in the name of it years and years ago. And like pre the Upsides, they had like one or two, or they had like a full length and a split before the Upsides. And then the Upsides came out and then they started blowing up. But it's been almost like every other or every third record, I've been like, wow, this record is incredible. That's been my like journey with them, I think. But the latest one they put out is just unbelievably good. It blew me away. So that's probably number one. Number two and number three are probably like a tie between the new Static Dress album, which is just a band I've loved ever since they kind of broke out with those singles, like a few, I think it was during the pandemic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like championing that band since then. And Malevolence. Really dug that. I mean, I've liked that band since their last full length, which was a while ago at this point. But yeah, I really like those three. And then the rest I'm trying to figure out. Like, I really like New Thornhill full length. Counterparts is above, like,
yeah, Counterparts, yeah,
that one too. That's probably my number two. But yeah, like, I like the new Thornhill, I like the new Fit for a King. The Gloom in the Corner is probably up there. That I'd probably put that on my number five because I really like that band is super cool. When I actually got an email from like someone who works at Sharptone to like check that band out.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, what is this band? I was like, holy shit. I was like, this band is crazy. And then when I got to hear their album, I was like, dude, this is something really different and really cool. And it just makes sense from their Australia. Like, something is going on in Australia.
They got some crazy stuff happening there.
Yeah, they just breed, like, the craziest metalcore bands of all time or something. It's wild. And I got to have the singer Mikey on the show, which was, like, a really, really awesome, like, I don't know. We just, like, clicked from the show. really, really cool dude and just an amazing band. And I can't wait for them to like really catch on over here and tour over here. I can't wait for that. I want to see that band live because that band is so sick. Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite like discovery of the year is that band of like a new thing that I had no idea existed. Is definitely that band for sure.
That's dope. That's dope. Number one for me is Lorna Shore, Pain Remains.
Good record.
Black and Deathcore.
Yeah.
Who knew Will Ramos, that voice? Because of Ingested, I got to go see Lorna Shore live. I got to be guest listed for that tour that was sold out in Baltimore and take photos. And yeah, they crushed it live and people went nuts. And yeah, that record, so good. I was not a deathcore fan before that band, but here we are.
Yeah, I'm not huge into it. There's only certain bands where I'm like, oh, this band is sick. And Lorna Shore is definitely one of them. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy to see the kind of progression they've gone through.
Yeah,
like this is their third singer.
Yeah,
that's nuts. And the fact that they're doing it like they're doing it now is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And then Tom is doing like horror deathcore and Chelsea Grin now. So
yeah,
it's great. That record's great too.
that first half.
Yeah,
whatever, you know, is cool. Yeah, and I don't think I've listened to Chelsea Grin in years.
Yeah, same.
And I was like, it kind of like this podcast has almost like made me get more into music. I think being an Asian kind of like disenfranchised me from music or at least from like listening to it. Cause so many people are like, check out my band and people do it now. But for some reason, it's not annoying. I don't know why it was when I was an agent, but now I'm just like, hell yeah, I'll check out your band. Fuck yeah. And then you end up finding all these like weird things or getting into bands you never thought you'd be into or back into bands you used to be into and weren't to. It's cool. It's an interesting journey for sure.
Yeah. It's a cool space. Just run through like, the rest of my top five. Dayseeker, Dark Sun at number two. Incredible record. Parkway Drive, Darker Still. Also really like that one. I mean, it's just arena metalcore, but
they do it well.
They do it well. I mean, they're every chorus on that record is huge, and you're just like, every song bops. Olhava, their record Reborn, like Russian Black Gaze band. That's like super cool. And then, Counterparts. That record just blew me away. So
they're one of those bands where it's not like you forget about them because almost every record they've put out, like their last like five records have been incredible. And it's so weird because you like forget I think it's because their records say so like in your mind that you never think when's the next one, which is such a weird kind of effect to have on people or at least have on me because usually I'm like, oh, when's that new album coming out? For them, I never really think about it. I'm just like content with whatever they give me, you know? And then they put out a record and you're like, these fuckers did it again. Like, what? How? Like, how do they keep putting out stuff that's like better than their last thing? It makes no sense, but
yeah.
Well, I'm seeing that tour next week. And that tour is stacked, so I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I've never seen Dying Wish, so I'm stoked about that. Big fan of that band.
Oh, yeah. They're
right. I just saw Foreign Hands on that Stick to Your Guns tour, so it'll be cool to see them again. And I've seen Sea of Space Cowboy kind of a number of times at this point, but that band is also sick. So
yeah,
no complaints. Very stacked tour. Very cool tour.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. That's my top five. I have a list of 100.
Yeah. It's been a really good year for like, even you bring up Dayseeker. I was like, oh yeah, that record was fucking good. Dude. Like,
yeah.
That's what I think I called it like 1975 if they were a metalcore band, right, which I think is really accurate, but it is fucking good.
Yeah.
Or I got to sing.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. And the lyrics on that record, because like half that record's about the passing of Rory's dad, and my dad passed away at like similar time frame. So it was like that connection was just like, ugh, record guts you.
Yeah. Anything to do with grief just kills me, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, also the Counterparts record does that too.
Right.
They deal with some sort of loss, whether it be personal or relationship wise. Mm-hmm. So I think Tragedy Will Find Us came out when I went through like a really bad breakup. Mm. So it was like a weird timing thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy how music can, you know, affect you in that way. It's kind of like the same thing with movies to me is like, if something can resonate with you emotionally, it's just like, it brings it up a notch for me. Mm-hmm. The Wonder Years one did that for me too. That's another one. I think that's why it's so special. You listen to it and you can like feel the pain and passion in it. And I think that's like a rare thing nowadays. Like yeah. A lot of bands put out like really good music and really good songs, but not a lot of bands put out really good records. It's kind of just a collection of songs and not an actual record, if you get what I mean. But it's when you hear that real emotion shine through songs, I think that's when you really got it. And I think that's kind of a hard thing to capture, especially like in today's day and age when there's so much music out there and there's so much good music coming.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just go on Bandcamp or Spotify and then get lost and discover new bands for days.
Really? It's crazy. Which is cool, because I remember going on like Pure Volume or MySpace and finding bands. I think that's where I found Four Year Strong, was on Pure Volume. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I just remember going through like liner notes on cassette tapes and...
Damn.
I'm just like, I don't know that band. Let's go to Tower.
That's awesome. That's so sick.
So old. it's great. Okay. Anything else notable about this year you all highlight, talk about?
Man, I don't know. It's been a really good year for a lot of things. Honestly, like if you're a fan of music or TV or movies, I think you're living good for sure. Mm-hmm. For me, it's been, I don't know, it's been a crazy year for like professionally and the podcast. So I can't be mad at anything. Like, honestly, this year has been pretty nuts. Like I said, I do design and stuff too. And I got to do design for artists I never thought I would ever do anything for in my life. Like I did stuff for ZZ Top's new album. That's
crazy.
Insane. Like, and that's like one of the things where you tell people's parents and they're like, oh wow, ZZ Top, that's crazy. You know, which I don't think I've ever had. I've done like cool ad mats for like, you know, like Dying Fetus or like Napalm Death or something. But if you tell that to someone's mom, they're like, what did you say to me? You know, if you say ZZ Top, they're like, oh, wow, that's impressive. So I don't know. I'm just grateful.
What are you looking forward to in 2023? What's coming? Kang Train, that's coming.
Kang Train is definitely coming. It's coming. It's coming hard, and I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see Jonathan Majors rule next year, because he's gonna be in Creed like a month after that, and I'm stoked. I love that actor, and a lot of MCU to look forward to next year, that's for sure.
I mean, I got to assume he's gonna be in Loki season 2 next year too.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be the summer, I think.
Yeah.
They're so weird with shows and like marketing, because they don't really need to supermarket them. They're just like, hey, this comes out 2 months from now. And you're like, okay, cool. Because that's like Secret Invasion is coming out sometime early next year, but I have no idea when.
Eventually.
It's either going to be before or after Ant-Man, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to see where the podcast goes, I guess. It's kind of been a ride of, oh, this is happening. That's crazy, but I'm going to roll with it and see what happens next. But I guess that's the same for me. What are you looking forward to next year?
Bad Batch, January here, coming up. That's first thing. Season 2 of Bad Batch. Stoked for that.
Yeah.
Mando, Ahsoka, I think, right? Like,
yeah. Ahsoka is going to be a big one for me. I'm a big Rebels fan.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically Rebels and live action, the sequels to that. So I can't wait for that. And Favreau called it Dave Filoni's magnum opus, which I'm like, that's the best thing Dave Filoni's worked on. Holy God. I cannot
wait. It's going to
be great. Yeah. I'm super stoked for Mando. Oh, The Last of Us? Jesus. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you've never played The Last of Us, you are not prepared for how heartbreaking this show is going to be. And me saying that doesn't even do it justice. like the opening, probably the opening 15 minutes of that, of this series, is going to set the tone for the rest of however long that they decide to go with this. And it is brutal. And I love it. And we get to see Pedro Pascal in two major roles right in the beginning of the year on our TVs, and it's going to be incredible.
Like, it's going to be great.
There's so many good movies coming out next year. It's insane. It's like I have this like website pulled up with all the upcoming movies coming out, and it's insane. Because I want to do a most anticipated episode too. And it's just like looking through, you're like, what the fuck? Like new Scream movie, John Wick? Like it's,
oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And that's just in March. That's up until March. Like, even the Super Mario Brothers movie looks incredible.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Good. A new Evil Dead movie, like this is stupid, but Fast and Furious movies coming out, those are always fun. They're stupid, yeah. But they're fun. Spider-Verse sequel? Like, it's crazy.
It's a good time to like stuff.
You know? There's a lot of DC stuff coming out next year, too, which should be cool. I know Ezra Miller is very problematic, but I'm really looking forward to The Flash still.
Yeah.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard good things. Michael Keaton, you know.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. The DC thing is wild, because interesting to see how they're going to move forward. But I think that movie is going to be a massive reset button. And I'm interested to see where they go. But yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. The face behind the silhouette in this world I meet to be infinite, but within the expanse I finally see a world without you wishing back for me.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our intro music was written and composed by Jeremy Hunt. The As the Story Grows theme is by Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, you can join us at patreon.com/asthestorygrows. Be a part of our community and join the ongoing conversation over on Discord. If you enjoy this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening. I never thought-